Good evening, everyone.
Good
evening. Glad you could be back with us. We had a wonderful service this morning. It was a little rainy and cloudy outside this morning, but it was beautiful and sunshiny inside here. We had a great service. So we're going to continue on with that. We're going to sing Sweet Hour of Prayer, which is on number 445. Let's all stand and sing.
Chapter 22. Well, that'll be our diving board, if nothing else. But listen at that last one. It says, that last verse, it says, I'll view my home and take my flight. This robe of flesh I'll drop and rise to seize an everlasting prize and shout while passing through the air, farewell, farewell, sweet hour of prayer. That just gives me holy goosebumps thinking about that. It's not going to be long, I believe, that we will drop this flesh and we'll rise on up after those in the grave have come up out of it. Amen? And that's the hope, the blessed hope that we have in Christ Jesus. All right, before we get into our study tonight, do we have any words of praise or testimony tonight? Amen. I'm hoping to have a good supper at a lady's house tonight. She's home, so I hope she's cooking. That's all I can say. But Amy stayed there on the weekend as you're turning to Matthew chapter 22, and Amy tried not to be as hovering, overboard, overbearing, but Maddie did call her yesterday evening and said, you can come back by if you want to. And so, but she was able to find a church this morning, went to a church, said she was very welcome there, and don't know if that's the one for her, but thank God she did her homework. She looked up their doctrines of faith and all that before she went. So praise God. But be praying for us. It's difficult going by yourself, you know. So any other words of praise or testimony tonight? Amen. Amen. That's what our hope is. I tell you what, it was something else. Amy had given me a place, because Amy went down there on Thursday to spend a night down there at Papaw's, and I was going down on Friday to meet them. So Amy gave me a place where I was supposed to park. I get there, and they say, ain't no parking here. And so I had to find a place, but you had to swing in and dump everything out and then get out the way. But there was a lot of mamas and daddies there and a lot of mamas crying and all that. So just a new phase in Jesus' name. There's a lot of them, of our friends that's got youngins going to school. Anyone else, a word of praise or testimony tonight? Brother Otis. Amen. I was praying for you. I knew it was midday sometime. Anyone else? Amen. I tell you what, it was good singing this morning, wasn't it? And you know, that just sets the table. That sets the table. Good music sets the table for the worship. It's not about the music, but you better have good music. That's just the way it is. Anyone else tonight? Amen. Amen. And that's after 1 week of school or 2 days? Or how? I'm just cutting a fool with you. Is it? I know. It looked awesome yesterday. Was it? It looked awesome, though, the pictures and all that. And just seeing cars up here, you know, it's always good to see. This is our base of action, you might say, as believers, and it's good to see it going and coming. But we do want to pray for Awana and lift it up as we're heading into a new year. We're thankful for the new students that's been signed up, as we're looking forward to that. Also, our Sunday school, our visitation, all that's involved, that as we head into the new year. Anything else? Words of testimony and praise tonight. Before we do, I didn't get my prayer list done in time, so I want to go through the ones that we have handed out. We want to remember Brother Roy and Sister Phyllis, Chris Bilton, Paula Butler, Judy Clayton, David and Felicia Cantrell, Stephanie Carlington and family, Moselle Carter, those without Christ. And let me ask this, you know, was it last weekend that the young man from Union passed away in the fire? You remember that it was? Has anybody heard about his mama and his sister? The mother passed? Did they? What about the daughter? Do we know anything about her? Mm-mm. No matter what situation we're in, it can always be worse. It can always be worse. People will change places with us at the drop of a hat. We do want to pray for those without Christ, those that are backslidden, the bereaved, those that's dealing with emotional and depression type issues. Continue to pray for our nation as we see the divide that is great. And we've got elections coming up. Thank God that gas prices is going down. Maybe they'll go down even more. But continue to pray for our nation. Pray for our leaders. The Bible says that we're to pray for those who are in authority over us, whether we like them or not. We're to lift them up and pray for their salvation. We want to continue to pray for Sister Teresa Cobb, Brother Danny Roten, Mr. Leonard. We want to pray for Miss Wilma Daniels, Kathy Darnell, Sherry Davis, Sister Peggy DeBoard, Elmer Dockery family, Melanie Dorton, Chance and Danielle Dye, and they have a new baby, I think. Howard and Molly Edwards, but Howard is still in the rehabilitation center. Audrey Irving, the Baxley family, the Sister Pansy, Bill Fuller, Brother Danny and family, Tom Hendricks, Junior Hill, Ed Holden, Bridget Holmes, the Shut-Ins, Don Kearns, our leaders, Melanie Lester, the Lost, Nancy McNew, our van ministry, Sister Denise, Kathy Mullins, Marla Nichols, Danielle Nottingham, Candy Osborne, Parker and Hudson Qualls, Jean Rasnick, Unspoken, Danny and Sherry Roden and Brother Leonard, Dwight Roberts, Wayne and Terry Roberts, Rick Sawyers, Wendy Shields, Danny and Kathy Snavely, our college students, Dwight Stiles, Linda Thompson, those that are traveling, Sister Shirley Wells Hammonds, Janet Willis, and then pray for the churches in Georgia, Mount Calvary and Yeoman's Chapel. They're in some need of God's touch. And many more that we're praying for tonight and lifting them up. Any other prayer needs that we need to be mindful of? Kevin Mullins. Anyone else? I know Brother Johnny and Sister Rowena's traveling. Anyone else? Yeah, continue to pray for Amy's granddaddy, Dwight Stiles. He had COVID about 2 weeks ago. I was just telling Sister Yvonne that, but he's still, to hear him, you'd think he was still sick. I know he's testing negative, but the cough and the congestion and the breathing stuff is still lingering on there. Anything else? Anyone else? Continue to pray for those that are going back to school. We're still in school, but I tell you what, I wouldn't trade to be a teenager again to save your life. To save your life. Well, maybe save your life, but not mine. I thought when my youngins was born that it would be drugs, alcohol, things like that, and they're still there. You have to fight with it. But the way that they're redefining words and changing the meaning of things, that, I mean, it's a world of confusion right now. And if it's tough enough on children that are raised in the church and raised up with the Bible, but those that do not have the foundation of God's Word and living in this world as everything's trying to be redefined. But words have meanings, and meanings matter, you know. Anything else? All right, Brother John Franklin, would you come and lead us in a word of prayer? And don't forget, the altar is always open, and you can come any time to the altar, okay?
Let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, just humbly just come here before you this evening, Father, Lord, just recognizing you as the Lord God Almighty of this whole universe. You are our Creator, our Lord, our Master, Father, Lord. And I just give you praise and just uplift your name as holy and righteous and worthy of all our praises, Father. Lord, I'll just take every one of the names and requests, Lord, read off here by Pastor Brian, and those that were not mentioned as well, Father, Lord. We just lift all the names and the needs up to you, Father, Lord. You know what each and every situation. Lord, we just place those place them at your feet, Father, Lord. And just give them to you, Father. Lord, I ask your blessings here just upon our service and upon the message that Pastor Brian has for us that you prepared and given to him. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
As I do want to challenge you as you're turning to Matthew chapter 22, as we studied this morning in Exodus chapter 24, you know, that's not a very popular read, you know, Exodus 24 and all that's going on there. But in that, I hope that you saw the need to read the whole Bible, not just stay in the New Testament or in Psalms and Proverbs, but as we read the whole Bible, especially as we understand the Old Covenant, the Old Testament, it helps us understand clearer the New Covenant and the reality of our spiritual life. Just like as today, you know, they were ratifying the covenant there, meaning that they were accepting it and agreeing with it, but we've seen that the blood had to be applied to the altar, and then the blood was applied to the people. And then on the Day of Atonement, which was held, you know, annually, the blood would be applied to the mercy seat. That's when the high priest would go into the Holy of Holies and put the blood there. But that's also where we get the truth of the scapegoat, where they would take one goat and they would use it for the blood sacrifice, but then the other, the priest would lay his hands on that goat, and basically the image of the passing on of the nation's sins. And then a fit man, someone that was strong enough to be able to go out into the wilderness and come back, carried the goat out into the wilderness to leave it there with all the sins, and then would come back to the temple. And in that we see Christ Jesus, who is our fit man. He went into the wilderness of death and Sheol, and he carried our sins there, and only he was the one that could come back up out of that after taking our sins there. And when he rose on the third day, he left our sins in that wilderness of death, and he came back up in victory, and we live. He was our scapegoat. He's the spotless lamb that takes away the sins of the world. But as we talked about this morning, we're going to be looking at the greatest of commandments, and this is going to be a common passage of Scripture with you. But as we talked about this morning, when Moses went up on the mountain and God gave him the law, we, especially in our culture, we kindly think that it was simply the Ten Commandments, and then he kindly came back down with that. But as you study and as we look, really what we see there are the books of Exodus, Deuteronomy, Leviticus, and other books that are there. So tonight we're going to look at the greatest of commandments, and then how that Christ Jesus gives us in the New Testament, and how or if the Ten Commandments fall underneath what Christ said there. So we'll be in Matthew chapter 22, and then we'll also be reading from the book of Mark chapter 12, just getting two separate views of it. But Matthew chapter 22, verse 34 and following. When the Pharisees heard that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, they came together. And one of them, an expert in the law, basically a scribe, asked a question to test Jesus. Teacher, I think the King James says, Master, which commandment in the law is the greatest? Matthew 22:37. And Jesus said to them, Love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, all your mind. This is the greatest and most important commandment. The second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and prophets depend or hang on these two commandments. In Mark chapter 12, beginning in verse 28, we get Mark's perspective of this same incident. Mark 12:28. One of the scribes approached, and when he heard them debating and saw that Jesus answered them well, he asked the Lord, Which command is most important of all? And Jesus answered and said, The most important is, Listen, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. And the second is, love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other command greater than these. Then the scribe says, You are right, teacher. You have correctly said he is one and there is no one except him. And to love him with all your heart and with all your understanding and with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself, is far more important than burnt offerings and sacrifices. And when Jesus said that, when Jesus saw that he answered wisely, he said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." And no one dared to question him any longer. May God add the blessings to the reading of his word. But notice there, especially in Mark, that even the scribe, who was of the Pharisees, is what it seems like, who we know were very legalistic. If you remember, there were 300 and something do's and 300 and something don'ts, basically, when it came down to the law. But notice, even he agreed that it's not about what you do and what you don't do according to the law. That's not the most important things, the sacrifices and the offerings and all that. But what is most important, as he agreed, is to love the Lord your God with all your being, and then to love your neighbors as yourself. And then, like we talked about this morning, that is the most important part of us as a church, whether it be choir, whether it be regular service, Awana, sowing bees, anything like that. All of that should be focused around people coming to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Like with the sowing bees, when there's those shorts are given overseas, or the quilt are given, no, are we going to be there preaching the gospel? No, but it is the love of Jesus Christ behind those efforts that prayerfully will impact the individual that gets it, so they see that there is a greater love than what we may know. And that's everything. When we do a bereavement committee and we give a meal or food, somebody passes, everything that we do needs to be about salvation and people coming to know Christ. But now, as we look at this and the question that was asked here, now, what we know is that this was not asked out of a genuine concern for knowing what is the greatest commandment. What it is that, like it happened many times, that the scholars, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the scribes, what they did, they were trying to trip Jesus up. They were trying to find a place where he would fall, and then they could bring accusations against him. And he never failed. He never answered incorrectly, but that didn't stop them from bringing the accusations against him. But I want you to notice how the enemy works before we get deeper. The Pharisees and the Sadducees made up the Sanhedrin, which was basically the religious and the political leaders there in Israel. Now, while they were still under Roman rule and they had the law of Roman rule, they were still allowed, like other nations, to govern themselves. They were allowed to have their own leaders, their own councils and government and things like that. And as long as it did not go against Roman authority, they allowed him. That's what we see when Jesus was brought before the Sanhedrin and the high priest. And they could punish Jesus, they could have, but they couldn't kill him. And that's why they had to carry it to Rome and they had to carry it to Pilate. But the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they weren't buddies. I mean, they basically had opposing views. Specifically, the Pharisees believed in the resurrection. They believed in the physical coming of the body being rose again. As we look over in John chapter 11 with Mary and Martha, remember, Jesus asked her, "Do you believe that your brother will live again?" And she said, "Oh yeah, I know that he'll live again in the resurrection." So we kind of get an idea that they probably came from a Pharisee background, which the Sadducees, they didn't believe in a physical resurrection. And while there were probably some things that they agreed with, there was a lot of stuff they didn't agree with, and they were would clash at times because of the belief system and what they believed. But notice this, they had a common enemy, and the enemy of my enemy is what? My friend. And so that's what we see happening here. It says that the Sadducees, basically Jesus had already shut them down. And so notice it says that they came together And then this scribe comes to him and he asks him a question. So we see that even people, when the devil, the enemy comes against us, people that aren't even on the same page will come together to try and stop the gospel. And that's what we're seeing in the LGBTQ plus one and all that, what they've got now. They're bringing it. I mean, they are, if you look at the dynamics of all those different words, they're opposing in their views. You know, a homosexual is, it doesn't agree with transgender. I mean, that the idea just basically clashes against one another. But because they have a common enemy, which is righteousness, holiness, and goodness, which is Jesus Christ, they're coming all together. I mean, you see that they're beginning to bring in the special needs and stuff like that. They're just beginning to lump it all in there. And so we see the attack here, and they're doing it. And the second thing, second off, is that Jesus, when we look at this, when the enemy comes against him, he had a basic technique to go into battle. You remember in when he went, it says that God called him in the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. When the devil came against him, what was his number one weapon against the enemy? Scripture, exactly. He used the word of God to come against the enemy. And the same is true here. When they ask him, when they ask Jesus, which is the greatest commandment, Jesus refers directly back to the Old Testament. Notice in Matthew chapter 22, verses 37 through 38, it says, Jesus said to him when he was asked which one is the greatest commandment, he says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your mind. This is the greatest and most important commandment. And then in Mark chapter 12, verse 29, it says that Jesus said the most important, listen, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. And he is directly quoting back to Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4 and following. Now listen, what did Jesus say? He said, listen, O Israel, correct? Listen at this. Deuteronomy 6, verse 4 and following. Listen, Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. These words that I am giving you today are to be in your heart. Repeat them to your children. Talk about them when you sit in your house, and when you are walking down the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Bind them as a sign to your hand, and let them be a symbol on your forehead. Write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. And remember, they did. They wore a leather box on their head that had scripture in it. And I think I've been told that when this building was being framed up, that there are scriptures wrote in this place. And we used to do that when we would build houses. But notice, how important is the Word of God to be in our life? Notice, when you're in your house just having a conversation, talk about scripture. When you're on a trip, and you're going somewhere, talk about scripture. When you lay down, when you're lying in the bed at night, maybe with your spouse or your children is around, talk about the scripture. Bind them as a sign on your hand and as a symbol on your forehead. Write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. And my daddy, he believed in this. I've told you how that I used to wear cowboy boots a lot. And I was lost as I could be, but he would take scripture and fold them up and stick them in the toe of my boot as far as he could get them up there so that everywhere I went, my steps were covered by the Word of God. But I also had an escort, man, a Ford Escort. It was old, old. It was old hatchback. And on the dashboard, it had cracks in the dashboard. And my daddy took scripture and wrote scripture down, folded it up, and stuck them in the cracks of that Ford Escort. So wherever I went, the Word of God was on my feet and the Word of God was guiding my path. But praise God, man, we're to have that type of confidence in God's truth. And that's what Jesus did when hard times come up. He took the Word and he turned it back. And again, he was using what is called the Pentateuch. Now, does anybody know what the Pentateuch is? Not you, sister. You can't answer. No, I'm cutting up. What is it? It's the first five books. Penta, like a pentagram, means five. And then the other word, which I can't say very much, basically means Torah or the law. And that is the first five books of the Bible which Moses wrote. And he goes back. Remember, what did he say? All of the law, which is the first, what? Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. And then the prophets, everything that's been foretold, all of that on those two commands, love the Lord with all your being and love your neighbor as yourself, he hung it on that. And then the second commandment, the second is like it, Matthew 22:39. Love your Lord, or is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. Mark 12:31, the second is, love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. And so just like when Jesus told what the greatest commandment was, he loved the Lord with all your being, he referred back to Deuteronomy chapter 6. When he says to love your neighbor as yourself, he's also going back to the first five books, Leviticus chapter 19, verses 17 and 18. You must not harbor hatred against your brother. Rebuke your neighbor directly, and you will not incur guilt because of him. Do not take revenge or bear a grudge against members of your community, but love your neighbor as yourself. And I am Yahweh. And people try to say that the old covenant is drastically different from the new covenant. No, it's the same truth is still there. Like we talked about this morning, God never intended for us to live up to the law. He knew we couldn't. The law is a tutor. It instructs us. And by looking into the law, we see our inadequacies, and it points to the Messiah. So the second, and Jesus, when he comes and he's tempted or tested, he goes to point back to the Scripture. That's the greatest tool that we have, along with prayer. The Word and prayer are our two offensive weapons against the enemy. Now, the next thing is notice that the Lord continues concerning the two commandments. He said, as we just read in Mark chapter 12, verse 31, it says, there is no command greater than these. Matthew 22:40, all the law and the prophets depend on these two. And we saw and discussed this morning that God Almighty, when he called Moses up to Mount Sinai, it was not simply the Ten Commandments that he gave to Moses. While in Exodus 20, and we're going to go over here, Exodus 20, verses 1 through 16, we see the Ten Commandments. But when you read between Exodus 20 and 23, there are a lot of things, there are a lot of instructions, commands, and truth that God lays out. He talks about how to deal with your servants and your slaves. He talks about, and again, just because slavery's in the Bible doesn't mean that the Bible promotes it. There's people try to use that as an attack, but just because the devil's in the Bible doesn't mean he's a good guy either. Amen? And that's the same truth. There's realities during that time that God dealt with, but that doesn't mean that God promoted them or thought that was a good idea. He also dealt with personal injury, theft, crop protection, personal property. Do you know that if you borrowed someone's donkey or an ox or whatever, and while you had it, it died? The law was you make it good. You pay it back. Just like if you borrow someone's tool or something today, and if it breaks, what's the right thing to do? You make sure that they have one, they get it back, maybe even better, amen, than what they had. He goes on to talk about sexual sins, respecting God, justice and honesty, the Sabbath days and the festival days or holy days or holidays. And he goes on to talk about the promise of the promised land in Canaan. But tonight I want us to look at the Ten Commandments because that's what we're familiar with. And I want to see, do they fall in line with the two? Love God with all of your being and love your neighbor as yourself. So the first thing I want us to look at are the first four commandments in Exodus chapter 20, beginning in verse 1, and also in Deuteronomy chapter 6 through 21. And what we're going to do is I'm going to read them, and then I want you to tell me what that means. You know, what is the practical application of that truth? Does anybody know what the first commandment is in Exodus chapter 20, verse 3, and Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 7? Thou shalt have no other gods before thee. Thou shalt have no other gods beside me. Now, what is God saying there when he says that there shall be no other gods before us? Who is God? He's the one true creator, the one that has been and always will be. He is the divine. He is the I am that I am. He is self-sufficient. He needs nothing nor anyone else to exist because he exists because he is. And when he says that we shall have no other gods before him, the truth is he's supposed to be number one in our life, and nothing else should come before that. Not our job, not our spouses, not our children. Nothing should come before the Lord our God. Amen? But yet we live in a world today, and even with church-going, good moral people, that we can talk ourselves into putting other things before God. Can't we? And it's acceptable in our society. Who wouldn't understand? Now, you know what? When we would have revival when I was a boy, my brother played in the band. And on revival week, you didn't play in the band that week. You didn't go to band practice. You didn't go to the football game because Daddy believed that God needs to be first. Now, how do you think that would go over today with some band directors and coaches today? They would. That's exactly it. I mean, we see anymore, even in the Bible Belt, where we're to have no other gods before us, that sports and stuff like that, they don't think a minute about scheduling it during the time that church services or worship service would go. And that's happened because Christians have allowed those things to continue on. So we see that we're to have no other gods beside the true and living God. All right, the second commandment, you remember that one? Thou shalt not make an graven image, an idol to yourself. Exodus 20, beginning in verse 4. Do not make an idol for yourself, whether it be in the shape of anything in the heavens above, or on the earth below, or in the waters underneath the earth. Do not bow to worship them, for I am the Lord, your God. I am a jealous God, punishing the children for their father's iniquities to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but also showing favor, faithful love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commands. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 8, it's very similar, and it should be because it's written by the same person. He says this, do not make an idol for yourself in any shape of anything in the heavens above or the earth below or in the waters under the earth. You must not bow down to them or worship them because I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for their father's sins to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing faithful love to thousand generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. Now, what is an idol? I mean, the idea of a graven image, when we look at it, is specifically in the book of Acts, we see it a good bit as they were making graven images of Diana, the goddess of Diana. Remember, they got mad with Paul when he came preaching because a revival came through, and that meant people were going to stop buying the graven images, and that's why they wanted to get Paul out of there, because it was messing with their back pocket. It was messing with the checkbook. But the truth is this, is that anything can become an idol. Anything can become an idol. Anything. Remember, and notice how closely they're tied together. First, don't have any gods before me. Don't put another thing ahead of me. But also, don't make a graven image. Do you know that when, remember Moses went up on the mountain and they got a little bit of, they got anxious, and they took the gold that they had, and they melted it down, and what did they make? A calf. You know what that calf was supposed to stand for? God. They were thought they were doing something right. They were trying to have an image of God so that they could worship Him. But God didn't go with it. Even though the intentions of their hearts may have been right, God said, no, I will not have another. You can't put me in an image. I'm bigger than that. There is nothing that you can make that would be a full description of who I am. And so as we study this and we think about this, what are some things that can become idols today? I mean, we know that there's Buddha, right? I mean, you know, the little fat guy, and you're supposed to rub his belly and all that. But what are some other things that are idols in today's world? What would you say is one of the biggest idols in society today? Cell phone? That's it. I believe that. And then something else that what else? A job? Stuff? Yeah, people can elevate family members, children, and all that. I think one of the biggest idols today, what is the most popular picture taken today? A selfie. Now think about it. We're not to have any graven images, but how many people are doing all that? And what do they want? They want people to recognize them and see how awesome they are. And a lot of people today... Facebook, that's it. There's so many things that become idols. And the sad thing is that the devil in our flesh is so sneaky, and we can let it creep up on us without even knowing it. What is the third commandment? Thou shalt not take the Lord's name in vain. Christian Standard puts it like this. Do not misuse the name of the Lord, your God, because the Lord will not leave anyone unpunished who misuses it. And I like that translation because us, especially in the Western culture, what do we think about when we think about using the Lord's name in vain? GD, Jesus Christ in a way that's derogatory, right? I mean, that's the thing. That's what gets us. But let me ask you this. If you profess to be a Christian and you say that you've been saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, and yet you do not genuinely try to live a lifestyle that embodies and represents Him well, or would you call that using the Lord's name in vain? Yeah. You use it with no value. Yeah, I'm a Christian. I live the way I want to. I do the things I want to. I don't read the Word of God. I don't pray. But yep, I'm a Christian. I'm Christ-like. That's an empty use. And notice he says, I will not. You'll be punished. There's judgment for that. The same Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 11. Do not misuse the name of the Lord your God, because the Lord will not leave anyone unpunished. All right. Then there is the fourth commandment. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. You are to labor 7 days and do all your work. But the seventh day is a Sabbath day to the Lord your God. You must not do any work, neither your sons nor your daughters, male or female servants, your livestock, or even the resident alien that lives within the city gates. For the Lord made the heavens and earth and the sea and everything in them in 6 days, and He rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and declared it holy. Now, I've got some good friends that are Seventh-day Adventists. And they try to talk to me quite regularly about why they keep the Sabbath, and God bless them that they keep the Sabbath. But as Christians, part of us keeping the day Sunday is where we find our identity in Christ. Why do we worship? Why have we made the first day of the week the holy day instead of the last day on a Saturday? Why do we do that? Christ arose on the first day. And in that, we are celebrating the resurrection. Every time that we gather on the first day of the week, whether we say it or not, when we come into this place, not only are we celebrating our Savior, but we're celebrating the day of resurrection because it was the first day that He come up out of the grave. And also, we're not Jewish. Now, praise God, we're built on the Jewish faith, but we're not the Jewish faith. We are Christians, and that helps show the identity of who we are, separate from Judaism and all that. You know, and again, we are under the covenant of grace. You know, we're under the covenant of grace, but as we look in Scripture, what you see with Paul, not only did on the night that Jesus arose, if you remember, they were in the upper room and Jesus came in the room without even opening up the door. You remember, He just walked on in. I believe that was the first Sunday night service right there. They were together. But also, there's a lot of things that Paul established, like gathering together, and on the day you gather together, you take up an offering. Paul established that in the churches. And when he, probably one of the most famous church planters that's ever been, when he established the church, they worshiped on the first day of the week. So while we're changed the day a little bit, we're still taking one day and setting it aside for God and God alone. Amen? Now, I want you to look at those first four commandments. What do they all have in common? What is the subject matter? God. Exactly. What is the first commandment? What is the first and greatest commandment? To love your God with all your being, basically, right? And as we look at the commandments, could we say that the first four commandments fall underneath that, that you're to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your being, basically? Wouldn't you say that have no other gods before you, have no idols before you, don't use the Lord's name in vain, and have the Sabbath day or the holy day set apart for the Creator alone? Don't all those fall? Remember, what did He say? That all the law hangs on those two. Amen. And what we're going to see is in the next six, they deal with the way that we're to interact. The first four teach us how that we're to interact with our Creator, or how that we're to express how much we love our God. And then the next one, let's consider it. Matthew chapter 22, verse 39, the second is like it. Love the Lord, love your neighbor as yourself. Now listen, what's the fifth commandment? Honor who? Honor your father and your mother, so that you may have long life in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. This is a commandment with promise. Amen? But notice, honoring your parents and obeying your parents when they tell you maybe to do something wrong or to do something that is not in the will of God, are those the same thing? No. No. You can respect somebody or show respect and reverence from someone that you may not agree with anything that they do. And the same is true for your parents. You don't have to follow through with all their commands, especially if they're not godly commands. But we must honor them. And as my wife said to my daughter recently, just because you turned 18, God didn't say you could stop honoring your mother and your father. And that's the same way it is right now. And I'll be honest with you, one of the reasons why I think there's a lot of disconnect between lost people not understanding the love of God and all that is because we're living in a society where the father is not in the home anymore. And it's hard. And think about it. If they hear that reverence, the Heavenly Father, their mind's going to immediately go to a father that was absent or a father that abused them. And that connotation is going to be negative to them. But again, honor your father and your mother. All right, what's the sixth commandment? Do not kill. Translated specifically to do not murder. Now, there are times we know that God says specifically with capital punishment, if someone takes a life, the Bible says that their life can be taken. Not that it always should, but that it is acceptable in justice. But the idea here is murder. Taking a life senseless and just putting it on your own authority to say that life doesn't need to live anymore. And doing that. All right? What's the seventh one? Do not what? Commit adultery. Don't run around on your spouse. And don't run around with someone else's spouse, right? I mean, that's the picture there. Now, we know that any sexual sins we could put under this, the idea of fornication, but specifically is how we're interacting with other people, isn't it? That we're not to commit adultery. The eighth commandment is what? Thou shalt not steal. Don't take something that doesn't belong to you. I mean, I don't think you can say it much plainer, right? If it's not yours, then you're not to take it. But yet we live in a society today where morality is relative. It depends on the situation, you know, on what's right and what's not. Okay, how about the ninth commandment? Do not bear false witness specifically against your neighbor, right? Now, I would classify this as more as the idea is don't lie. I mean, you don't do it. But specifically, we're not to give false reports against our neighbors. Today, I mean, you can say basically about what you want to about somebody, and we live in a society where if it's said about you, that's what's believed, and you have to produce evidence to the opposite. Amen? I mean, it's just the negative is accepted more today than the positive is. All right, the 10th commandment. Don't covet. But yeah, I mean, he lays it out. It don't matter what your neighbor's got, you best not covet it. Then he says, don't cover your neighbor's house. Don't cover your neighbor's wife. Don't cover his male or the female servant. Don't covet his ox. Don't covet his donkey or anything that belongs to you. If your neighbor has a brand new John Deere lawnmower, you're not to covet that, because that would be what would be the ox in the back in those days, right? And we're to do it. But let's look at those again. What is Matthew 22:39? The second commandment is what? Love your neighbor as yourself. Let me ask you this, parents. Do you want your children to respect you and to honor you? Amen. How about, do you want anybody to kill you? You want to be murdered? No. You want anybody to run around with your spouse? Nope. How about, you want anybody to steal something that you've put time and money into? Nope. You want anybody to lie about you? Or to give false testimony? Do you want, some people might do this, do you want your neighbor to try to make you jealous when they get new cars, fine homes, and all that kind of stuff? Nobody as the individual wants any of those six to be done wrong against them, am I right? And so when we consider, remember, love to God, those first four, how we interact with our Creator, and then when we fall underneath, love your neighbor as yourself, those six right there, don't they show us how we're to interact with others? Those things that we want for ourselves, to be honored, not to be stole from, not to be lied about. We don't want anybody to do that to us, right? And so to love our neighbor as ourselves would be to withhold from doing any of that stop stuff. Amen? All right, let me ask you this question in closing. Okay, so Jesus says that all the law and the prophets hang on those two. Love God with all your being. Love your neighbor as yourself. Let me ask you this. Since we're under the law of grace and not under the law of commands, are the Ten Commandments still valid and worthwhile in keeping? Yes. Amen. Why? Why are they so? Two reasons. This is what I got. You might have more of that. The first one is this. The same God that gave them to Moses and the Israelites originally is the same God of the New Testament, and he's the same God that's still on the throne today. And when he gave them, he knew that people weren't going to live up to them all the way, right? And even today, as Christians, he doesn't expect us to live up to them all the way, but he's still the same God. And if he said that this was pleasing in the lives of his people in the Old Testament, don't you think that it still is pleasing in the eyes of God today when we try to implement the Ten Commandments in our life and let them be a boundary with the way we live? Amen. The same God of the Old Testament, the same Spirit that inspired in the Old Testament, is the same one that inspires in the New. And the second reason is Jesus Christ said that the law is wrapped up in those two commandments. So those things are good. Like we've looked at tonight, the first four, they show us how to interact with our God. If when we practice those four things, we are honoring God. Amen. We're showing our love to Him. We're showing our commitment to Him. And then the same is true with the interaction of the last six. When we honor our parents, when we don't steal from our neighbors or covet what they have, when we don't lie about them or try to run around when they're lying, what are we doing? We're honoring them and showing that we care about them by not misusing them or mistreating them. Amen? So again, I guess that tonight's lesson is this. Read the whole Bible, old and new, because the more we understand the old, the more we're going to understand the new. The more we're going to realize how they tie together and how they're valuable in our lives. And it'll also help us walk closer to the Lord and know more about Him, which, praise God, that's a part of going a little higher, a little farther, is getting deeper into His Word. And the more you know about someone, the more closer you're able to get with them, get to them. All right, is there any thoughts or any comments about the greatest commands? Love the Lord with all your being. Isn't that a good way to do it, though? Because we like to judge each other by what we do and how long we do it and how many times we do it. But if everybody's giving all they can to love God, it's going to look different. But still, we're all on the same playing field and we all give Him the same amount, ain't we? Amen. That's why He said, He didn't say, got to do this, this, what He said. Love God with all that you are. And that's the goal. And if we do that, then we'll love our neighbors as ourselves. Any thoughts? All righty. God bless you. Be praying for you this week. And if I don't see you before, don't forget, if you're able on Tuesdays at 11 o'clock, come and be with us. God is blessing us with more people beginning to come. I believe that Recovery Through Christ is going to be becoming more and more, especially as Brother Marvin becomes assistant house manager. He's going to be driving them, bringing them here. So come and be a part of it. And if nothing else, pray with us in agreement wherever you're at, okay? Yes, Brother Otis. Savarsky.
Savarsky with the entry to their house. The new steps. We have been working on getting all that done. We have secured the material. It's been paid for. Some of that through the Department of Social Services, some of that through the church, Sunday school ministry. But it's all been paid for.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Come and help. I can't do it, and Brother Roy can't do it by himself, but he's willing to help what he can. And I hope some of the other men in the church will, and women, if you can hammer a saw or use a screw gun.
I can be a saw man.
Measure or whatever, you can come and help. But we're going to have to set a date and
Mm-hmm. And if y'all don't know the situation there, Miss Pam was on the back deck, which is also about that high, and it failed. And she fell with it, and she spent time in the hospital for that. But the steps are in bad condition. And the goal is that we'll be able to get those steps in place where they don't have to worry about them shaking and all that, you know. And it's a two-tier, right? It goes up, and then there's a platform at about 5 feet, and then it turns up again, and there has to be another one. And I think the goal is that we'll be replacing the stairs, right, and the first little platform right there where it turns and goes up.
Yeah, the first and the
Brother Rick, you can go ahead and cut us off. God bless all of you. Thank you for being with us tonight. Yeah.